You're back with The Conversation on Hawaii Public Radio. This is Catherine Cruz. You know, this morning, the headlines out of London are hailing the first citizens to get the COVID-19 vaccines produced by Pfizer and BioNTech. Among those who have been watching the events unfold are Hawaii residents who took part in the clinical trials here in the islands. Not everyone is in a rush to get the vaccines. There are some who aren't convinced it will be safe. But Ryan Ozawa, who agreed early on to be a guinea pig to test the experimental drug, had no qualms about signing up. Ozawa may be familiar to HPR listeners. He was a longtime co-host of Bite Marks Cafe and is currently communications officer for the real estate high-tech company, Hawaii Information Service.
It's very exciting, and especially because we in the United States are very close to that as well. I mean, just this morning, the FDA said their analysis affirmed the effectiveness of this very same vaccine. So it's just a matter of time. Certainly, the UK is a bit ahead of us, but it's all good news. And I really, really hope that we can see the same amount of enthusiasm that they have in the UK here in the US.
Yeah, the response that people will step up and get the vaccine if they want to be protected.
Yeah, it's a different kind of climate here in the United States, and everything is politicized. And, you know, there's some problematic conspiracy theories, et cetera. So it probably will be more of an uphill climb for our public health officials to see the level of opt-in that they'd prefer. But because the initial set of the vaccine is so limited, I'm pretty sure they're going to have very good success with that demographic. It's only when it gets to the general public later next year where I think it's going to be more of a fight.
Well, I have to say, when I learned that you volunteered for the trials, I was like, wow, you're brave. You know, what was going through your mind? What made you decide to step up?
Well, I am certainly an advocate of public health and vaccines, et cetera. I will confess that it was my daughter who was the most excited to get involved in it. She has an even stronger social justice and public health mindset than I do. And again, it's just a matter of being a part of the solution when we're all trapped at home and wanting to be able to get back together with friends and family or return to our offices. There's not much the average person can do, but certainly signing up for a vaccine trial is a small thing that you could do to contribute in some way to that objective.
So describe to our listeners what that involvement was like.
It was very professionally done. I mean, they were pulling in 40,000 or more across the country. I think they did 1,000 or so here in Hawaii, which is unusual. We don't often get to host one of these trials, but I think they were very interested in Hawaii's diverse demographic. From what I could understand, they were also looking to correlate some of their findings here with their program in Japan. So they're looking for specific demographics at a time. And basically, it's two shots about 2 weeks apart. That would be what the treatment is for the vaccine trial. They want to monitor how you're doing. So there's blood tests mixed in there for COVID antibodies, et cetera, et cetera. But for the most part, as long as you're okay with needles, and nobody really loves needles, there wasn't any problem whatsoever doing what you had to do to contribute.
You still don't know whether you got, what, the actual vaccine or a placebo, right?
That's right. It's a 50-50 double-blind test. Even the people administering the test don't know whether they're administering the real thing or basically salt water. Everybody I know who's enrolled in it thinks they got the real thing, which I always find fascinating because statistically that is very unlikely. I think it's more a matter of psychosomatic thinking. But we are supposed to find out at some point, especially if we received the placebo, whether or not that was the case, because, of course, it would be important to us to have the opportunity to get the real vaccine when it becomes available.
So when does that happen, do you know?
Well, in terms of for us, I know we're a little ahead of the line of the general public, but I would say we're probably still behind first responders and the other recommended groups by the FDA. I'm certainly in a hurry to get the real thing. If I didn't get the real thing, and our family is as well, I mean, we're motivated largely by my wife, who's a metastatic breast cancer patient and has been very, very cooped up and very protected in our bubble. And we would like to have more safety around her and maybe get to the point where, you know, she can have a little more freedom as well.
Well, you have your daughter, your firstborn, and then your youngest also taking part in this study.
That's right. My 22-year-old, a poli-sci grad, and as you can imagine, very engaged that way. And my 16-year-old, who was a little bit more of a surprise, he wasn't eligible when they started. But, you know, Pfizer moves from group to group and expands that window for these tests. And they did want to test people younger than 18. And so that was my youngest opportunity to get involved. So he's about 2 months behind us in terms of taking the tests and all of that. It'll be really interesting how all of this aligns to the public release of the vaccine.
And then since you got those two shots, have you had to go back in for checks?
Yep. So there's a standard regiment of visits for nasal swabs and blood tests. And actually, there's an app that they give you to put on your phone where you check in every week to just basically say, are you fine? Yes, I'm fine. Are you fine? Yes, I'm fine. So they're scheduling appointments as far out. And I think my next one is in February or March. And I would imagine by then, all sorts of things are going to be different about how this vaccine is deployed. But technically, it's a 2-year study. There might even be a 3-year study. So they're going to keep track of us regardless, just to make sure, again, that you have the data you need for more long-term results in terms of the effects of the vaccine.
Given your experience, would you recommend this, taking part in a trial like this?
Well, taking part in a trial and a test and being a guinea pig probably does require a slightly different mindset. And I would certainly recommend it in the sense that, again, you're contributing to public health, but there are risks involved. And as we saw with some of the other vaccine candidates out there, there were a couple of abnormalities or aberrations that needed to be chased down to make sure that there wasn't a genuine danger for participating. I would certainly recommend it. I mean, one of the incentives for my youngest, I will confess, is the $150 per office visit stipend that they pay you to participate, which he's willing to do to put towards some sort of video game equipment.
But again,
if you're the type of person who gives blood to help your community, and I hope you are, I think that participating in a vaccine trial is a perfect companion way to contribute that way.
Was there any point in time where you felt, a little apprehensive or worried?
I think it's just a matter of if there are side effects, and they give you a very detailed rundown of what could potentially happen. It's not quite as bad as watching those drug commercials on TV where they have to talk very, very quickly to tell you about all the side effects that might happen to you that, you know, you're like, wait a minute, I'm not sure if that's worth taking the drug. But there really wasn't that much fear. My daughter freaked out the most about the blood test, which actually would be part of any medical care. So I thought that was funny. The vaccine was only a secondary thought for her.
There's a story in the Washington Post this morning about, I think, the second person to get the Pfizer vaccine was a man named William Shakespeare.
It's adorable. I mean, I think that this is all very good, you know, public health policy and, frankly, public relations policy on the part of the government in the UK to, you know, demonstrate that it's safe, that it's something to celebrate, that it's something that we should all be glad is finally happening, given the year that we've just had. I'm really wondering, you know, if we're going to have that same kind of celebratory atmosphere in the United States. I mean, I would have loved to have been able to say, oh, let's meet the first vaccine recipient in each state, or let's meet the first vaccine recipient in your neighborhood. I mean, that's how you personify it. That's how you make it seem real and something that's relevant to you. But I love it. I love it.
Yeah, I love the first line in that story, to be or not to be vaccinated. That is the question.
They probably had that in their head when they said, let's put this guy on TV.
Yeah, and it was interesting because they talked about the nurse that administered the vaccine, and she's from the Philippines.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's a global concern. It's a global advancement that we've made. I mean, say what you will about whether you are confident in an accelerated review process or something like this, but it is historic on so many levels. And I think that, you know, 95% efficacy in all of their testing and affirmed by the FDA is very impressive considering how fast everybody had to move. It seems like it's not fast enough for some people, but anyone who's been involved in public health knows that the government trying to call it Operation Warp Speed is not entirely just a cheesy label.
Well, you know, given your background with technology, what is it that has struck you about the concerted effort to battle this pandemic?
I think technology is a critical part of, you know, combating this. Now, I think that it is smart for our elected leaders and community leaders to emphasize the human part and the human responsibilities of doing the right thing to protect other people if you're not even interested in protecting yourself. And that is, you know, probably step one in all of this. But technology is clearly a big part of why this was successful, both in terms of the development of it and now to the distribution and implementation of it. I think that, you know, the Pfizer vaccine is actually more complicated to distribute logistically, given its requirements to be kept at, you know, almost space-like cold temperatures. But the other Moderna and other vaccines are going to be a little less restrictive in terms of how they get distributed. And I would say there's probably 5 or 6 more vaccine candidates we'll see in the next year with different ways of delivery. And soon it'll be in a pill. And soon it'll be in a nasal spray. It's very impressive. Technology is, I think, key to how we're going to address these in the future, because the bad news is this is certainly not going to be our last pandemic.
You know, and some of the technology has been embraced to different degrees in different countries.
Yes, I'm very excited about the app-based approaches that we've seen, even just in Hawaii, to helping deal with the coronavirus pandemic, whether it's an app designed for or used by college students at UH or by workspaces to make everyone take a survey before they come to your place of business. And finally, at long last, the official Department of Health sanctioned contact tracing app called Aloha Trace Alert. I personally feel that the Department of Health is moving way too slowly in getting this pushed out to the community, and I am nagging them at every turn, because I think for this to be effective, it needs to be adopted by as many people as possible and across the entire state, not island by island. But, you know, that is a really great part. I mean, Google and Apple working together on a purely secure and anonymous way to determine whether you've been within proximity of someone who had a positive COVID test, the Google-Apple exposure notification protocol. It's really cool stuff from the nerdy point of view, and it works on your phone without you having to do anything. So we are living in magical times as far as tech is concerned.
Well, I had to chuckle because I know on my phone it said that I could do the facial recognition with a mask.
Right, right. You know, I think that the ways that we've all had to change how we do things living just our everyday lives is also impressive. Certainly working remote is great for a lot of people. It's not always an option. Like being able to unlock your phone because you're wearing a mask, that's a little more complicated than it used to be. So, but I think we're adjusting, and that's what humans do.
Yeah, yeah. We'll be fine. Thank you so much, Ryan. We certainly have enjoyed talking with you this morning, and gives us a nice little perspective on this whole vaccine. But thank you.
It's always great. Yes, get your vaccine as soon as you can.
That was Ryan Ozawa, who, along with his son and daughter, took part in Pfizer's COVID clinical trials, along with about 1,000 other Hawaii residents.